From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. Turkey's prime minister says the Islamic State group is the top suspect in Saturday's double suicide bombing in Ankara. Ahmet Davutoğlu says authorities are close to identifying one of the bombers and evidence points to a certain group. Thousands of people took to the streets of Ankara yesterday as the country mourned the victims of the twin bombings that killed at least 97 people and injured more than 200 others. Dorian Jones reports.
It's the third fatal bombing aimed at pro-Kurdish groups since June. In July, 33 young activists were killed by a suicide bomber. The previous attacks were blamed by security forces on Islamic State militants. But in what observers say was a controversial move, the government refused to open a parliamentary investigation into the bombings. Saturday's double bombing is adding to a deepening polarization of the country as it heads to a general election in November. Destabilizing the elections is seen as a possible motive behind Saturday's attack. The fear in Turkey now is what else can happen before Election Day. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
The European Council is calling for Russia to cease immediately its military attacks in Syria that do not target the IS or other UN-designated terrorist organizations. The EU says those attacks are of deep concern. Russia claims to have hit 53 targets in the past 24 hours, which it describes as airstrikes against an IS training camp and a facility, an underground facility in Latakia province. Twin suicide bombings killed at least 9 people and wounded 29 others in northern Cameroon in an attack that local security officials have blamed on Boko Haram militants. On Saturday, the Nigerian-based group launched 5 coordinated attacks on neighboring Chad, killing close to 40 people. The attacks have increased recently in Nigeria's neighboring countries. This is VOA News. Old City Jerusalem saw another violent encounter today with one attacker trying to stab an Israeli policeman before being shot and killed. A spokesman for the Israeli Defense Forces said the attack happened near the Lion's Gate and that the policeman's protective vest fended off the attacker's knife. Today's attack followed violence in other areas on Sunday, including Israeli gunfire killing a 13-year-old Palestinian boy near a checkpoint in the West Bank and violent demonstrations in Gaza. Iran's parliament has given preliminary approval of a bill that allows the government to implement an historic nuclear deal reached with world powers. Under the bill, the Iranian government will be authorized to withdraw from complying if the other side fails to lift sanctions against Iran. Final approval of the measure is expected later this week. And Iranian state television is reporting that Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian has been convicted on charges including espionage. The report quotes a judiciary spokesman saying the reporter and his lawyer are eligible to appeal the conviction within 20 days. VOA's Persian service producer Human Bakhtir has more on the surprising lack of details in the verdict.
Non-Iranians, the trial process, in fact, the Iranian judicial system is very, very opaque. Even Iranians have a hard time understanding what goes on behind the closed doors because nothing is transparent. And there's no due process, evidence, no discovery process where the prosecutor has to give all the evidence presented to the defense. So it's very arbitrary. Basically, and people now are speculating as to why Jason Rezaian was arrested 450 days ago on purely trumped-up charges.
Again, that was Human Bakhtir of the VOA Persian service. Princeton University professor Angus Deaton has won the 2015 Nobel Prize for Economics for his analysis of consumption, poverty, and welfare. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences said by linking detailed individual choices and aggregate outcomes, Deaton's research has helped transform the fields of micro, macro, and development economics. The Nobel Committee says his work revolves around 3 questions: how do consumers distribute their spending among different goods, how much of society's income is spent and how much is saved, and how do we best measure and analyze welfare and poverty. It says his research has shown how the clever use of household data can shed light on such issues. Also today, word that British universities, including Oxford, the oldest in the country, are opening their doors to academics fleeing Syria's civil war, expecting an exchange of ideas that will benefit both sides. The academics have been directly targeted by Islamic State militants, and therefore they are being welcomed in the United Kingdom. I'm Marty Johnson, reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.